Hello, my friend, and welcome to TFU News and Views. I am your host, Anthony Brucali, owner, operator, mastermind behind TFU.info and host of this show and our sister podcast, Transformers University. Today, I have something very special for Transformers fans and fans of Netflix TV shows. Today, I had a great conversation with the creator of the Netflix original series, The Toys That Made Us, Mr. Brian Volk Weiss. It's fun to kind of be on the other end interviewing Brian, who interviewed me for the consulting producer role on that show. So, Brian and I got into a lot of great things. There's some interesting news in this interview. Brian was a great guest. He put up with all my questions, and we went pretty deep on some of the Transformers episode things and some of the production aspects behind that show and the series itself. So without further ado, my conversation with Brian Volk Weiss.
So on Instagram, you became a dad again.
I did.
Congratulations.
Third time's the charm.
And, you know, I do have a quick question about that before we get into the Toys That Made Us stuff. Your third child's son's named Truman? All of your kids are named after presidents?
Correct.
Wow. Are you a big presidential buff? How does that happen?
I'm a big history buff. I'm a huge history buff. I mean, and that definitely is a big part of the origins of the Toys That Made Us. But yeah, I'm a huge U.S. history buff.
Oh, that's fantastic. So I got to ask, okay, so coming off of now season two being out, how has the reaction been overall?
You know, I can't even believe I'm saying this. It's like this is one of these things where I feel like I'm lying, even though I know I'm telling the truth. It was better than season one. We had one bad review and about the 200 good reviews. Season two, we've had about 300 good reviews and no bad reviews, and all the complaints that we're getting through Facebook and Instagram are the kind of complaints that they're kind of good complaints. You know, they're like, how come there's only four? Why do you keep having seasons that are so small? Or I don't understand. Why haven't you done Gem? Why haven't you done GoBots? Like, so they're complaining, but they're kind of, all the complaints are, wanting more. So that's not really a complaint when you're a TV producer, first of all. And then second of all, there were two episodes in the second season compared to the first season. I feel like the first season, nobody could argue with the choices. But in the second season, I really thought there would be a lot of flack for Hello Kitty in particular. And I also thought there would be a lot of crap about Star Trek. And there really wasn't. I was expecting it, and it really didn't come. So that made me even happier because I thought it was a shorter runway to land on.
I see. And, So that's great that you're getting that kind of reaction to the show. Going back to I guess the first question I have from that, though, is the show is announced as being eight episodes. The theme song says eight episodes, but it was split into two seasons. Can you get into the process behind that?
So the inspiration that I had for the theme song was, even when I was a little kid, let alone now, I always found it really funny how much exposition, especially in the G.I. Joe theme song, but also a little bit in the Transformers theme song that there was. The G.I. Joe theme song, I don't know when you last heard it, it's literally something like, it's G.I. Joe versus Cobra, and Destro is the arms dealer, and he gives weapons to Cobra sometimes, and then G.I. Joe has to fight that. Like, it is the most, like, detailed description of what's going on. So that always made me laugh. So that was the inspiration for the song, which was this overly detailed, like, explanation of something that to a certain extent really didn't need to be explained. So that was the origin of the show. I never like to assume that, I'm going to get more seasons. So, you know, we put in 8 episodes. So that's how it came to be. My solution, so when season 3 comes out, this is how we're handling it, was, you know, I remember back in 87 when everybody was like, they said Star Trek was a 5-year mission. How are they going to change it? How is it going to be, like, not a 5-year mission? And then one day, I sat down and I saw Star Trek The Next Generation for the first time, and Picard, instead of saying 5-year mission, said a continuing mission, and that's what we're doing. So when you hear the new song, it's going to, instead of an 8-episode series, it's going to say some version of a continuing series, which was inspired by Star Trek The Next Generation.
Oh, that's fantastic. You know, you do that nerd complaining voice a little too well. Like, you've heard it a lot of times.
As a nerd, it comes easily to me. And by the way, my wife, who is not a nerd, that is definitely her impression of me. I'm kind of doing an impression of her doing an impression of me, truth be told.
Fantastic. So let's get a little, before I get a little specific into the Transformers episode, as your consulting producer, I did hear you on another show, and I have an answer for you for something that you didn't quite know. So you have a red Sunstreaker in your collection, correct?
I don't have it in. I have a yellow. I had a red one when I was a kid.
Right.
And I don't, looking back on, I didn't know what it was because I was so young. Looking back on it now, I'm like, what the hell was that?
So the answer to that is that Takara released 3 of the car molds in the United States in 1983, a few months before Transformers had come out, and one of them was the Red Sunstreaker.
So that's interesting. So Takara put out their own stuff before Hasbro's version came out?
So Takara had a line in 83 called Diachron. It was very small. It was
Diachron,
yeah. Well, as opposed to Diaclone, it's Diachron with a K and an R.
Oh!
And in that, there were 3 of the cars that would become, there was a Red Sunstreaker, a Black Ironhide, and a Blue Trailbreaker. Were all direct imports from the Diaclone toys.
I had the Trailbreaker. So let me ask you this. I grew up in New York. Like, were these for sale at Toys R Us? Like, where did my parents get these?
You know what? I couldn't probably. If not Toys R Us, somewhere maybe like Service Merchandise or Consumers or... You know, in New York, you never know. It could have been in Canal Street. there's certainly places for these things to end up.
My parents were not, you know, big adventurous toy people, to put it mildly.
Mm-hmm.
It was only while making the first 2 seasons of the show that I put 2 and 2 together about how bizarre it was that I had them.
Yeah, they were available at retail, so, I mean, it could have been Toys R Us. I mean, I grew up in New York as well, so I'm trying to think of where I would have seen something like that. But yeah, they certainly were around. Like, I want to say Roosevelt Field Flea Market is a good place to find. It would have been a good place to find
that,
stuff like that.
That would actually make a lot of sense. But anyway, well, mystery solved.
Yes. So speaking of the Transformers episode, like, what was your biggest challenge getting that episode underway?
You know, I mean... By complete luck, I had shot a pilot for MTV the year before in Japan. So we actually did have some Japanese infrastructure and relationships. So we were very lucky in that regard. So we really didn't have the usual problems of... you know, shooting in a very foreign country, meaning the, you know, it's different words, completely different language, yada, yada. You know, we have a lot of people on our staff who speak Spanish or French or whatever. We don't have anyone who speaks Japanese. So the usual things like that, we had actually gone through the year before for our MTV shows. So we didn't have any of those issues. You know, the main issue that we had was, which turned out... very luckily not to be a problem, was, you know, the former Takara engineers, you know, most of those guys had never been interviewed before. So they didn't completely understand what we were trying to do. And what ended up happening, which was amazing, was a lot of the guys came and did their interviews, not completely understanding what we were trying to do. While we interviewed them, they got it, and on their own time and their own initiative, came back the next day with, like, more stuff. So, like, a lot of the things, like those Polaroids that we showed in the episode, like, a lot of that was brought back. Like, some of those guys, like, went through their garages or basements or whatever, or attics, I don't know what, looking for stuff after we had interviewed them. And then they came back and we interviewed them the next day. So it was a challenge in that when we initially interviewed them, they didn't have the stuff we were hoping they would have, but it ended up not being a problem because they were so cool. They came back the next day with all the stuff we needed. But that was definitely one of the bigger variables. And, you know, it was, you know, Takara was great. Hasbro was great. Everybody was really great.
You know, those books are one of the things that people, and myself included, like, it's like, pause on that frame. What's in those books? Have you given any thought to, and especially with some of those rarities, you know, maybe doing that as behind the scenes or as a online kind of, you know, exclusive thing where you guys could show off some of the neat things you found?
Yeah, two things are going on. The first is we are going to be doing a major overhaul of our Facebook page in terms of our posts. So we're going to be doing a deep archive dig. But we are hopefully getting close to the point where we will be authorized to make a DVD of the first two seasons. And it is our intention, should we get the approval from Netflix to do that, where we're going to put, like, everything on those discs. Like, I mean, basically it'll be like a, you know, an encyclopedia of our research in the show, in the discs when you buy the package.
Oh, wow. And, you know, going back to, so is that part of the reasoning, I guess, then, you had some rarities show up in a lot of the episodes that I saw, but they weren't necessarily acknowledged either by the voiceover or by the people who are in the scene with them. Do you feel, you know, that you needed to reference those? And if not, you know, you didn't, but, you know, why you chose not to?
Because this is the decision that I made while producing the show. And this decision, it's a decision, anybody who was in my role would have to have made a decision. They might not have made the same decision I did, but you couldn't make a two-hour episode. You couldn't make an episode. My job, as I saw it, was to make every episode work for fans and also for non-fans. What I wanted to do, I want to make as many episodes as possible. I am hoping we get the opportunity to make, you know, around 20 episodes. And you have to do that, especially when the initial order is less than half of 20, you know, you have to be successful, and a lot of people have to watch. So if we only got the people watching who cared about the rarities, then there would have not been the third season. That would have not been enough people. We needed to have people, and I always used my wife in my head when I was in the editing bay, as I have to make this show work for me, but it also has to work for her. And due to that thinking, that's why we never stopped the show to be like, and this is so-and-so, and this is that, and this is this. The thinking being, somebody like you with Transformers would see it and then be like, holy shit, what is that? And then really do a deep dive into it, and that would engage you. But rather than slow down the pacing of the show and potentially lose my wife, it would work for both people. And that was my decision. And like I said, that would have not, other people would not have made that decision. They would have made the show. You know, there were three ways to make the show. There was a way to make the show for the hardcore collectors there was a way to make the show in the middle ground for people like my wife and for me and you. And then there was the far other way to make the show, which was to make it like that VH1 show, totally 90s, where you're, you know, it's just like, ooh, Optimus Prime. And, you know, you're not really learning anything. And I chose to go the middle route.
That's a great approach. If you plan to go further on and hopefully get to 20 episodes, is there room in that 20 episodes, or is there consideration in that 20 episodes then to double back on, say, Star Wars or Transformers or something that you feel like you've missed, or even maybe do almost like a potpourri episode where you touch on some smaller things?
Listen, they just greenlit a spin-off of Roseanne without Roseanne. So it would be ridiculous for me to say that's impossible. I never thought there could be a Roseanne without Roseanne. That being said, I feel like the odds of that happening are somewhere at around 0.001. That would be my guess. But
okay.
That being said, hopefully, the DVD, if it happens, which of course would be a Blu-ray as well, hopefully that will make people like you and me very happy with the extra details and stuff. So, you know, a big part of why I want to do it is for that reason, to put all that stuff out there that we didn't get to do.
Cool. And speaking of extras or even things that didn't make it, back in December, the Toys That Made Us had tweeted out a photo of an interview with Michael Bay, but Michael Bay wasn't in the episode.
Yeah.
Is there a story behind that? Is there a reason why he didn't make it?
I can't get into as much detail on this as I would like to, but needless to say, Michael Bay, being as accomplished as he is, when agreeing to do the interview with us, had certain parameters, and, you know, he was, I cannot stress enough, he was the coolest guy ever. Everything he said and did was, for lack of a better expression, in bounds. He didn't do anything wrong or messed up or bad. He was totally awesome. But for a variety of reasons, which, like I said, it's just not appropriate for me to get into, the decision was made not to include what we had shot. So I try to be as detailed as possible with all my answers, but in this case, I do have to be a bit vague.
Okay, fair enough. And, you know, one thing I heard of people who wanted more, you know, there was something in there of people love that you had Peter Welker and you got really deep into, you know, the story behind the voice of Optimus Prime. Peter Cullen. But you didn't have Frank Welker. And I was just wondering, did you reach out to Frank? Did Frank decline? Like, was that part of the plan initially?
We did not reach out to Frank. And this they're represented by the same agent, by the way. So it would have been the easiest thing in the world. Listen, and again, I know everybody's not. It's funny. Everybody who's hearing this answer was not in the position to have to make a decision. So keep that in mind, because you might hate my answer. But it just goes back to what I was saying. It's like my wife knows who Optimus Prime is. My wife knows his voice. And we couldn't have everybody. And, you know, I'm in my office. I have multiple copies of Optimus Prime and Megatron from the statues they made 15 years ago. I just bought a beautiful Optimus Prime bizarre cell phone thing from when I was in Japan 3 weeks ago. I have the Hallmark Christmas tree Megatron from 2 years ago. I love Megatron. But we're making a show that needs to be slightly less than 50 minutes. You can't get everybody. You can't do everything. You have to pick your battles and make sure they count. And that, to answer your question, that is why it was just Peter Cullen.
Fair enough. And is there anything in the show that got cut that you really wanted to keep in terms of the Transformers episode?
Oh, so much. so much. I mean, the first cut of the Transformers episode, I think, was a little bit over 90 minutes. I was probably close to 100 minutes. I mean, we, in the first cut of the episode, we really did a much deeper dive into Takara. We also did a huge dive into Beast, into the whole Beast Wars. We did a much, basically, the main thing that got cut, and I know a lot of people are upset about this, and I don't blame them. They're absolutely right to be upset, is that we really kind of spent 85% of the episode talking about G1, and Dead did not, and then, you know, it was like, hey, the Beast Wars happened, and then, like, the credits started. So that's, we did it. We had probably about an 8 or 9 minute section on Beast Wars. So that's definitely a lot of stuff that got cut.
Oh man.
same thing happened on the Star Wars episode. You know, the Power of the Force line, we had a good 8 or 9 minute section on that. That was reduced to about 9 seconds of screen time. So yeah, it was painful, man. Fucking painful.
Oh, man, you figure, okay, I guess the question here is then, how do people push Netflix to get you guys to get the DVD permission?
Don't do that. That would drive an M. please don't do that. I feel very confident we're going to get it. It's just a matter of when.
Okay. And speaking of you being in Japan, I saw on your Instagram that you were there, and it seems that season 3 is underway. Can you speak to what you were shooting in Japan, or what you're going to cover in season 3?
We are announcing the toys we are focusing on at Comic-Con, San Diego Comic-Con. But that being said, since you follow me on Instagram, you must be sick of seeing my children. you probably can figure out one for sure, and probably have a pretty good guess on at least one other, possibly two.
So you have a panel at San Diego?
Yes.
Is there a date and time that...
It's a phenomenal question. It is the Thursday at 1 o'clock panel.
1 p.m. You might be going right up against the Transformers panel. No, I think it's a little bit after.
Well, I'm actually relieved to hear that, because one thing I have learned from making this show is that Transformers fans are the most rabid. So if all the Transformer fans were at a different panel, I'll probably be lucky because they are probably very angry due to you. You've been very nice and kind with your questions, but I have a feeling they would be phrased a bit more aggressively at a panel.
I always feel like Transformers fans, for the most part, are very kind and thoughtful, but the ones that aren't are the loudest. So
can I tell you something? I'm going to steal that from you.
Yeah,
that is 100% accurate. That is completely, that is the best way to describe them. Yeah. We have had to ban less than 10 people on our Facebook page. I think 6 or 7 were Transformers related. And they're like going crazy about things like, that's a knockoff. Like what? Oh my God! Calm down. No need to insult what they look like physically, because they posted a picture of a knockoff. Yeah, so you're absolutely right about that. That's a very good way to describe it.
Okay, so you got season 3 on the horizon. I saw you also have a Ulysses S. Grant documentary coming soon.
Yeah, I'm a producer on that, and that is. But not for a long time, but that is my son is named Grant. He's my favorite president, and we are working with one of the greatest nonfiction writers of all time, Ron Chernow, and also Leonardo DiCaprio's company to help bring that to History Channel early next year.
So I guess last thing is, how can people keep up with you, keep up with the show? Like, where are the best places to find Brian Boyle?
I mean, I would definitely say follow our Facebook page. That is, you know, we're pretty good on Instagram, too. We're not the best with Twitter. But the show's Facebook page and the show's Instagram page are really, and if you want to talk to us, definitely go through Facebook. And, you know, my personal account, you know, I tend to put a couple of sneaky things out there, you know, see if, you know, so, I mean, I don't really do it on purpose, just sometimes I'm so excited about things, like I just got to put it out there. So, if you want early news, maybe follow me on Instagram. That's probably the best way to do it. But, yeah, I love talking to fans. It's, I get Facebook, and Instagram daily, from people, with questions or just saying they like the show or whatever. And, it's the greatest thing in the world, man. It's really been the most fun, wonderful, rewarding, show, that I've done, in my whole career. So, it's a pleasure talking to anybody, about this, put it mildly.
Oh, Brian, that's awesome. And I want to thank you personally, too, for bringing me on to that Transformers episode as your consulting producer.
I mean, we had like an ambassador on every episode, and you knocked it out of the park. It's funny, some toys I had a PhD in, like Star Wars, or G.I. Joe to a certain extent. But Transformers, I kind of only had like a bachelor's to master's degree. So we definitely needed the help, and really, really appreciate what you did for us. So thank you.
Oh, no, yeah, and thank you, too. You know, it's funny, coming from the news and sports world, like we don't get to see our name on screen very much, usually once a year at best. And just having being able to find that credit, as soon as that episode hits, first day, I was like, there's my credit.
That makes me happy. That makes me very happy.
All right, so I know you have a heart out. I'm going to let you get going. Thank you again for agreeing to do the interview and for being on the show.
Awesome. Thank you, man. I really appreciate it.
One, and once again, thanks again to Brian Volkweis for coming on and being interviewed. A lot of great little things coming out of that conversation. First off, if you don't follow Brian on Instagram, you should. His name is his name there. So Volkweis on Instagram is how you can find him. And just going off of what I see today, as of this recording, June 22nd, 2018, from what I can guess from that Japan trip, two of the topics that they may cover next season might be Power Rangers. They visited Toei Studios. And Gundam, because there's this awesome shot of Brian with a giant unicorn Gundam statue where he is about the size of the thing's ankles. And if Brian's date and time was accurate for San Diego Comic-Con, that Thursday would be July 19th, 2018. 1 p.m. would be Pacific time, which puts the Toys That Made Us panel at 4 p.m. Eastern, which should be about an hour after the Hasbro Transformers panel ends. So the Hasbro panel is on Thursday, July 19th at 2 p.m. Eastern. That would be 11 a.m. Pacific. And Brian's panel would be then at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. A couple other things worth noting from my perspective on this interview. Brian was very candid about a lot of things, which is fantastic. So I hope that really gives you an insight into the decision-making process a producer has to go through when creating a piece of television or a piece of video to decide what makes it and what doesn't and what the audience is and how to keep as many people engaged as possible. One of the things he mentioned was one of the first cuts was almost 100 minutes long, and my goodness, the early cut I saw in November was already down to 45. So it only makes me wonder what's in those cuts, and really, let's hope those DVDs get approved and get made, because that would be some fantastic stuff to view. So I want to thank you for joining me on TFU News and Views. If you haven't checked out the sister podcast, Transformers University, please do so. It's a great ride through the Transformers history. And of course, you can check out both podcasts wherever you find fine podcasts, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and more. And of course, we also post them to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/TFUINFO. If you'd like to help out the show, check out our Patreon, patreon.com/TFUINFO, TFU Info, for our Patreon, where you can get all sorts of subscriber goodies. Among some of those goodies, my Patreons knew about this interview, knew it was coming, got to submit questions and help me figure out exactly what I was going to talk about with Brian. So that is among some of the great exclusive content you get over at patreon.com/TFUINFO. The website, tfu.info, the Twitter account, tfu_info, and the Facebook and Instagram, eitherone.com/TFUINFO. That's all for this edition of TFU News and Views. I'm your host, Anthony Bricalli. See ya.